Hey guys, it's party time. Welcome to another episode of the Chad Prather Show. Wednesday, hump day. Last night, State of the Union. I hope you guys were able to tune in and listen to our controlled chaos as Stu Bergier hosted our roast of the State of the Union address, and Joe Biden was just pretty much lying through his teeth everything that he could come out with that sounded good was a conservative talking point, which was an old Barack Obama tactic. Get up there in front of everybody and try to sound bipartisan and come up with, conservative talking points. It's exactly what he did. And then, of course, there were a lot of times where he lied through his teeth. Here's the thing, guys. You know, we saw it kind of break down a couple of times if you watch the State of the Union. If you didn't, and I know there's a lot of people out there that you say, well, I'm not going to watch that nonsense. I'm just going to wait for people to summarize it afterwards, and I'm going to see the clips and all this kind of stuff. Inevitably, you've probably seen the clips by now where there was some breakdown in the decorum whenever Joe Biden was talking about, you know, conservatives wanting to get rid of Medicare and Social Security and things like that, and then also saying that he had a plan for the border, and it's, you know, the people on the right who are shutting down his plan for controlling the border. And of course, you had Marjorie Taylor Greene, who stood up, called him a liar. And there she is. You see her. She's dressed like the Chinese balloon.
I actually thought she looked like Puff Daddy in one of Biggie's music videos.
She did kind of look like she was going to the club.
I kind of liked it, actually. That's a pretty nice. That's a pretty sweet. Compared to Kristen Sinema, that's a dope coat.
Yeah. You know, and Marjorie Taylor Greene, no disrespect to her. I mean, I have to take that a little bit with a grain of salt, mostly just because she's a woman. It's a joke, people, relax. But I appreciate her fierceness. I do, you know. And Adam Kinzinger tweeted out either late last night or early this morning. I saw it this morning where he was saying, you know, is this what you want your children to see? He posted a picture of her, you know, with her thumb down, standing up, screaming out that Joe Biden's a liar. And he said, is this what you want your children to grow up to be? Is if they see this, they're going to grow up and they're not going to be Republicans. They're not going to be conservatives because they're going to be turned off by this. I mean, forget the fact that Nancy Pelosi tore up Donald Trump's State of the Union speech right there, you know, behind him after he delivered the thing a couple of years ago. And, you know, again, you're going to see outbursts like this. My issue, and I keep talking about it, I've introduced you to the concept this week of being a theistic barbarian. I've already gotten some emails this week, Brandon and Mark. I've gotten some emails this week of people who are kind of mad about that. They're saying, you're being blasphemous. It's absolutely, I don't think you know the definition of blasphemous, first of all, but to say that someone has a theistic worldview, they believe that God is in charge, he's in control of the affairs of human history, but yet you're willing to go out there and understand that this world is very sloppy, that it operates very strictly under the second law of thermodynamics, which that is things that are in motion tend to fall apart. And we are right now living in a sense of controlled chaos and entropy where things are kind of coming off at the wheels. You know, we can sing Jesus take the wheel, but sometimes he takes the wheel off the front of the car. And like that, that's wrong wheel, Jesus, but you know, we're gonna see if you could drive it with three wheels now. You were talking about the steering wheel, but again, it's a controlled chaos. Sometimes God does some things that around you that look a little sloppy, and you have to control that. You have to get on top of that and find some rhythm to live out your life. I bring all that up to say that we're kind of living in those days right now when you look at what's happening in our country, when you look at the world around us. And I want you guys to get away from this false deity of decorum, that everything has to be neat, that everything has to be clean, that everything has to be, you know, sweet, that everything has to be nice. I want you guys to get away from these Robert's Rules of Order. Yes, I do believe, and I talked about it earlier in this week, we do need a moral sense of order. We do need a standard, which is, you know, and I believe in order. I believe in order. I don't believe that you have peace unless you have order. If things aren't working in order, things aren't working peacefully. So, but I want you to get away from worshiping this sense of decorum that you think everything's supposed to work a certain way. And we're at a point in time where I think sometimes people do need to shout, you're a liar. You're a liar. And you say, oh, that's mean-spirited, and that's inappropriate. Well, if they're lying, They're lying. And last night, Joe Biden was lying. And so I appreciate Marjorie Taylor Greene shouting out, you're a liar. And whether Adam Kinzinger is offended by that or not, I don't care. Because I've seen Adam Kinzinger's fake tears on TV worrying about January 6th and his willingness to put people in prison under charges that are never even stated. So I'm not really worried about when it offends somebody like, you know, the caliber of Adam Kinzinger. So I appreciate the shout outs. I appreciate the shout downs on stuff like that. And you know, you don't want a full-blown melee. You want the mission to get accomplished. But let me tell you something. Constitutionally, there's no reason for us to even be having a State of the Union address. That was nothing more than a campaign speech on the part of Joe Biden. And it was filled with campaign lies. So, yes, that is part of my conservative bias coming out. And it's what I heard. It's how I heard it. There were those who said, oh, no, that's a masterful speech on the part of Joe Biden. He was a genius. I can't imagine anybody so stupid as to think Joe Biden is a genius. But yet here we are. You guys are out there. You think that. And I know you want to paint everybody like, you know, me or anybody like Lauren Boebert or Matt Gaetz or, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Chip Roy, anybody on the right, you want to paint them as these wild-eyed, conspiracy-driven, conservative, radical right-wing nationalists that are probably white supremacist bigots. And I know you want to put all those labels on people, but let me tell you something, guys. If they have their way, if the progressives have their way, you will lose your free speech. You will lose your right to bear arms. You will lose your right to privacy. You will be regulated to death. You will be taxed to death. You will not own property. You are not going to have any form of retirement that is considered yours. You'll be an automaton that's controlled by the state. That's just quite simply, that's the way they want it. And here's the thing. They will control you by force. Their might will make right, and they will determine how you live your life. And I don't know about you. That's not the America that I know. That's not the America I want to live in. And it's not the ideology that drives me. I don't get up in the morning hoping that one day I can be lorded over by some dictatorial, unilateral decision-making tyrants. I don't want any of that stuff happening to me. So I'm happy to shout that down. And if they come for me, they come for me. And so when I say, listen, I believe that God's in control, but we are in some barbaric times right now. All you have to do is look at the atrocities and the hideous nature of the actions of those who had absolute power in their countries and over their people in the 20th century. You know, communism is responsible for the deaths of well over 100 million people and can be attributed from everywhere from the Cambodian killing fields to Stalin's Russia and all of these various things, not to mention the fascism of Nazi Germany. So I think it's okay for us to stand up and call these things out and call these things as they are. And if it labels us as mean, well, then you know what? I'm encouraging. Go be a barbarian. Go be a barbarian. When the Apostle Paul was writing letters to the churches of the first century, he reprimanded them because they were not doing the right things and they were not living up to who they were supposed to be. And they knew their marching orders, they knew their mandates, and they were being silent or they were being debaucherous in the middle of them. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm going to write these letters, I'm going to put them out there, I'm going to say these things, I'm going to preach this message, and I know that when it's all said and done, they're going to cut my head off. Now, that's pretty barbaric. That's pretty barbaric. And the Apostle Paul said, you know what? I'm not going to own a home. I'm going to go live on the road. I'm going to find food as I can find it. You know, I'll live in other people's houses if they'll let me. I'm going to let, these congregations of people in these various cities that I go preach to, I'm going to let them help take care of me. And at the end of it, what's my reward? They're going to cut my head off. That's pretty barbaric. That's pretty chaotic. And I think we're living in the days and ages where they want to cut our heads off. But or is that going to silence your message? Now, I could tell you, to those of you who send me the messages, and you're telling me that, you know, my message has gotten too extreme, or I've become controversial, or even vulgar, or how dare I be so blasphemous as to equate barbarism with, you know, barbarianism with theism. And I sit there and I say, you know what? I can look at the modern American church and tell you that we have become impotent as a people of faith. Christianity has become commercialized, disenfranchised, disembodied, disemboweled. It's been gut shot because it has no guts. And so a message isn't offensive anymore. The message, because it's not offensive, isn't powerful. There is no hope in it. There's nothing more than a motivational feel-good message that's out there. And then we get offended if we do something different besides sing, you know, the first, second, and fourth verse and stand on the fourth. And then we go out in the world and wonder why the world's not any different because of our influence. Well, we're not doing anything. We're not doing anything. We've become a self-help group. So I say, screw your decorum. Let's shout down the lies. Let's call people out. If you're not thinking critically, let's teach them how. Let's embrace common sense. Let's shout it from the rooftops. And if it offends somebody, then it offends somebody. If it rubs the cat the wrong way, we'll tell the cat to turn around. Cat doesn't turn around, the cat gets rubbed the wrong way. That's the only way that you can continue to be a burr in the saddle, the pea under the mattress that irritates people enough to make them change. But you got to do it with truth. And you know what else you got to do? If you really want to be a critical thinker, you got to be willing to admit that sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you're wrong. Now, be dogmatic. I think you should be. I think you should be louder than the others. I think you should be more passionate than the others. But sometimes you're going to be wrong. Sometimes you're going to be wrong, and you got to be able to admit that. You got to readjust, start a new course, and don't let that stop you. Just because you're wrong doesn't mean you're going to be wrong forever. It just means you're learning. By learning, you'd be more effective. But Biden's incoherent, that's for sure. And play that third clip there on the list, if you don't mind, please.
If you try anything to raise the cost of presidential jobs, I will veto it.
Now, apparently Kamala Harris understood what the hell he said, because she popped right up.
Do you think she was listening?
No. No, she just knew when to get passionate.
Yeah, I think that's when they all, they probably had, like, you know, the applause signs. I assume they put, like, one of those up.
Hey, Brandon, here's my thing, dude. Like, if those people are going to get that passionate over an incoherent sentence, if anybody tries to pass her, I'm going to veto it. What? What did you say, dude? Again, I'm just saying, if you have the truth, and this is a New Testament concept, if you have the truth, how much louder should you speak? If you believe that you possess the truth, Joe Biden, they're applauding gibberish. They don't even know what he's talking about in a situation like that. So play real quick, play that fourth clip, Biden lies about the Medicare cuts. Play it.
Fair share, some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Let me give you, anybody who doubts it, contact my office. I'll give you a copy of the proposal. That means Congress doesn't vote. Well, I'm glad to see you. No, I tell you, I enjoy conversion. You know, it means if Congress doesn't keep the programs the way they are, they'd go away. Other Republicans say, I'm not saying it's a majority of you. I don't even think it's even a significant, but it's being proposed by individuals. I'm not politely not naming them, but it's being proposed by some of you. Look.
I personally love it.
It's great.
I love it. Now, let me tell you, whether it's Joe or Joe's speechwriter or his handlers or whoever, they were smart, okay? In running that little deal right there, that's smart, because now what he did was he put the onus on Republicans to prove their point. So now they're thrown into an argument that they didn't even know they were having. So politically, and I hate the political games, but that was a political game right there. By doing that, now they have to come up with a response that they didn't even know they were having a discussion about. And the more they debate it or even push back on it, it's going to actually, if they're not careful, it's going to make them look guilty of being, of what he said about them. So anyway, I love the fact that they pushed back right there. See, because yeah. if they didn't and they waited and they kept their so-called precious decorum that everybody loves, then when they had to come back, they would have looked guilty. So I'm happy that we got some gals with balls like Marjorie Taylor Greene in there. And anyway, she should have shot him with those space lasers.
That would have helped. I did look up what the military gives our soldiers to keep them awake. And I consulted with my buddy who's a pharmacist. Theoretically, what they gave him was called modafinil, which doesn't quite, you know, it's not cocaine or Adderall, but it will keep you awake and alert. So I'm assuming they shot him up with a good amount of that.
They had a good shot on modafinil.
Yeah.
And Kevin McCarthy sitting behind him could have used some too. That's for sure.
I mean, Tyree's mother who fell asleep?
She was asleep.
Yeah. I think everybody could use some.
She was asleep, and Bono was in the crowd. We still don't know why Bono was there, but anyway. All right, despite the U.S. blowing through $31.4 trillion debt ceiling in January, the leftist White House still refuses to reduce spending. And while our national leadership has buried their heads in the sand when it comes to fiscal responsibility, I want you to pull your head out of the sand. Now, this would be a good time to do that, and by doing so, you would diversify into gold. That's what I want you to do, and I want you to do it with Birch Gold. Now, in times of high uncertainty and instability, gold is always king. It's dependable, and Birch Gold makes it easy to convert an IRA or 401k into an IRA of precious metals. And what you need to do is simple. Text CHAD, I spell it Chad, to 989898 and claim a free info kit on gold, and then talk to one of their precious metals specialists. Now, to dig our country out of this mountain of debt, every single American, if you're a taxpayer, every single one of you would have to write a check for $250,000, $247,000 to be exact. And this is only getting worse. It's going up every day. So protect yourself with gold by texting Chad to 989898. They got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, countless five-star reviews, and you can trust Birch Gold to protect your future. So, hey, no obligation. Text Chad to 989898 and do it today. We'll be right back. All right, if I haven't offended you yet and hadn't run you off by talking about your precious decorum, everybody wants a polite society. I'm sitting here going, let's go. Let's go. Here's the thing. It's almost like watching a Roman tragedy, you know? Complete with a little
tragedy.
Romance, too.
Yeah.
A little spousal cheating, a little behind the back, if you will, et tu, Brute. Last night, it happened quick, but if you were paying attention, you saw it. Dr. Jill Biden, embraced in a kiss with Doug Emhoff. That is the first husband there. That is, they'll zoom right in. Oh, yeah. There may be some tongue involved in that. So whenever they introduce Dr. Jill Biden, she saw Doug, Kamala Harris's husband, and they kissed each other right on the lips, like right on the lips. Wasn't long, but it was wet. And if you see that, there was some, Doug's got his mouth open.
Yeah, we got the video.
And so if you'll see the clip here, she steps in there. And we're slowing it down just a hair, just so you'll see. Oh, oh!
Ooh.
Right on the lips. Looked wet. You could almost hear it.
In front of Nancy, too.
In front of Nancy. right in front of old Paul Pelosi, who clapped away. Now, I made a couple of memes out of that. Like, I added Joe Biden sniffing her hair. You know, I put that out there and I threw it on social media, and a lot of people got pissed off saying, Chad, you're better than this. And then I posted this. I said, well, here's the actual picture. They're like, this is Photoshopped. This is what happened. This is, in fact, what happened. Now, I've known some guys over my lifetime who, you know, they'll try to greet someone with a kiss, right?
An Italian greeting.
Yeah, no. If you watch TV enough, everybody kisses everybody in the movies and on TV, right? Everybody's kissing on the cheek, and oh my God, And I've known some guys who have tried to go in for the lip kiss. It even put them in some bad, you'd be like, whoa, 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 what are you doing? And some of you guys out there, that's what you do. And I want to tell you something, okay, just from the bottom of my heart. Stop doing it. Like, stop doing it. I've never met a woman who liked that. Like a kiss greeting, and you go in for the lip kiss. And I've had women who's actually said to me, he's like, you know, I was, what's his name? Come over to the, you know, did you see how he just came in and tried to kiss me? And it made me real uncomfortable. They always say that.
It's a weird move to go to in this era. It's very old-timey.
It's very bold.
Yeah.
It's very bold, and it's usually an indicator that you've been there before. Like, okay. Somewhere along the line, like the very first lip kiss that you do with a, quote, friend or acquaintance, you got to be coming in pretty bold on that one. And then if you do it on a regular, that's a different story. Like, it's become a mutual understanding that when we see each other, we're going to lip kiss. So that one, though, like, Jill just went right in for it.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, the woman's kind of, I had no choice. She didn't seem to push back on that. She launched right into it. So, little play by play, Jill steps in, she sees Doug, she reaches right in. Oh, there he is. Boom! Leans into it, hands held, drawing one another ever closer into the eternity and infinity of a lip-locked kiss. I didn't know this was the French State of the Union, but there it is. Bam. Chad, you're better than this. No, I'm just saying, I don't think that it's appropriate, one, to do that ever when your spouses are sitting there in the room with you or and when they're not in the room with you.
Yeah.
It's just not appropriate. But especially when you are the first lady and the first husband of the United States of America, in the middle of special guests in the gallery during the State of the Union address. I can't stress this enough. This to me shows you how jacked up all of this crap is. I mean, and quite honestly, I've heard from some reliable sources that Donald Trump is a lip kisser. Equally inappropriate, Donnie. Equally inappropriate.
And yeah. Jill does kind of strike me as the alpha in that scenario, though. I feel like she was the one in control.
Yeah, I'm thinking, well, the other meme that I created late last night while I was tequila infused was the picture of Doug kissing Kamala while wearing a mask. There's no real good still images of them because there were times like Kamala's birthday when she comes in, oh, surprise or whatever, and they kissed each other, both wearing a mask. And then there was the time outside the airplane, Air Force Two, she was getting on it, and they kissed each other with a mask. There's video of that, but there's no good still images. But there's a great still image of Doug kissing her on the side of the head while he's wearing a mask. And then I put that in the meme next to the frame of him kissing Jill Biden, and I said, well, COVID is over. it's done. I mean, full lip lock, screw your masks. Bernie Sanders, by the way, I did notice he was fully masked. He's sticking with the agenda there. He's staying with the narrative and keeping his old ass healthy. But Doug and Jill sitting in a tree, KISSING, right there on Capitol Hill. Boo. And you know Jill's not getting it at home, so whatever.
Not enough blue chew in the world for that.
No, whatever. you kiss Joe Biden on the mouth and you're getting some Polydent, Polygrip, whatever that stuff that holds him teeth in. It's coming back. Yeah. So, anyway, that's enough about that, I guess. I don't know. I thought that was pretty fascinating. There's something afoot. Well, now, they finally got Hunter Biden on trial, all right? And specifically, there's a congressional hearing that was going on today. They started grilling this former Twitter employees. And, you know, Yoel Roth I love watching that dude squirm. And I mean, these people are just pinheads, these guys at Twitter. They had almost absolute power to control speech. And you, and here's the fascinating thing, because everybody said, oh, no, it's a private company. They can do whatever they want to do. Remember all those arguments when we said, no, they're controlling free speech. They're fighting free speech. And there's a, it's a private company. They can do whatever they want to do. It's their platform. They can do it. But back during the 2020 election, whenever people started talking about Hunter Biden's laptop and the contents thereof, we found out that the FBI was actually telling Twitter what to censor. So that was a part of the federal government telling a private company how to censor the voices of the American citizen. And I love the fact that they're grilling the hell out of these former Twitter employees. You got that first clip, Yoel Roth, play it.
Again and again, we saw the speech of a small number of abusive users drive away countless others. Unrestricted free speech, paradoxically, results in less speech, not more. And it was our job in Trust and Safety to try to strike an appropriate balance. But the importance of this work goes far beyond Twitter's business prospects and into the realm of national security. In 2017, I led the team at Twitter that uncovered significant interference in an American election by agents of the Russian government. Their mission was to stoke culture war issues on social media to try to further divide Americans. My team and I exposed hundreds of thousands of these accounts from Russia, but also from Iran, China, and beyond.
Okay. So thank you, Yoel, for, he sounds like super, like somebody from the planet Krypton.
Yeah.
Yoel.
Yeah.
I loved watching, I had some calls this morning and I was watching some of it, had it on in the background. And then every now and then I would pop in for about an hour this morning and watch that thing. And I loved watching those guys get grilled because they got a little nervous. And I love it when Jim Jordan takes over and just doesn't give any F's and just starts really hammering those guys. And the fact of the matter is, as Jim Jordan said, you guys, we got played by the FBI. You guys were in there trying to censor all of these things that were so-called, you know, dissident voices from China and Iran and even Russia who were trying to polarize citizens of the United States on the platform of Twitter. And I'm like, you know what? I like to think that I'm reasonably smart enough that if I see something I agree with or don't agree with, that I can process that for myself. I don't need Yoel Roth. I don't need any executive at Twitter, anybody with some kind of a security clearance at a private company like a social media platform telling me what I should and should not believe. And that's exactly what we're seeing here. So when it comes to the Hunter Biden deal, we're going to see, and I promise you, this thing is going to play out, that the enemy wasn't the executives at Twitter, as much as we hate those fools. The enemy was the federal government. The enemy was the FBI. And so now, you know, when you look at all of these people, and we're going to have Gavin McInnes on later in the show. I'm going to bring it up. I want to talk to Gavin about this. All of these people that are out there, these groups of people, whether it's the Proud Boys or whoever, that the FBI has called extremist groups or even terror groups, they're considered a terrorist group in Canada. How many times is it the government, our own government, who is the ones that are actually polarizing the American citizens? Not Russia or anybody else. We have nefarious agents at work right here within our own borders. And that is what we're trying to see proved in these congressional hearings. All right. Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they've got some big news, and I love this. Patriot Mobile, they offer service with all three major networks. All of your cell carriers out there, they now offer service with all of the three major ones. This means if you're with the big three and you like their service but you hate their values, you can access them by using Patriot Mobile. And they also offer a performance guarantee. You're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Now, Patriot Mobile, they're America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. This new year, resolve to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. You can go to patriotmobile.com /chat, or you call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code CHAD. I spell it Chad. PatriotMobile.com/chat or call them 878-PATRIOT. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Mercy. That time of the show, we must wax. Eloquent, hopefully. You guys remember a couple years ago that I did this little thing called writing a book. It's called Am I Crazy? And you can get the audio book for it right now, read by yours truly. And in that book, I explore that particular question in a myriad of interesting and funny ways. You know, just want to know, am I crazy? Is the world crazy? And I've maintained for a long time that the jury's out on all that, but stories like the one I'm about to unfold before you today suggest that a verdict may at last have been passed on to the bailiff. Yes, I must indeed be crazy. So, New Jersey is where our story happens. There's a high school sophomore by the name of Nate Miller. He was recently disqualified from a swim meet. Yes, disqualified. For a reason so absolutely obtuse and silly that you almost cannot believe the reason. You ready for it? The American flag on his swim cap was too big. That's right. You heard it here first, folks. Apparently, this is absolutely a thing. There you can see the swim cap, the National Federation of State High School Associations Swimming and Diving, which is a mouthful, but it's their actual title, states, and I quote, "One American flag not to exceed 2 inches by 3 inches may be worn or occupy space on each item of uniform apparel. By state association adoption to allow for such special occasions, commemorative or memorial patches not to exceed 4 inches may be worn on the uniform without compromising its integrity," end quote. Now, I'd give you a moment to digest this particular bit of information, but I fear it would take too long for you to wrap your head around the deep, deep level of masturbatory bureaucrat speak required to create the kind of regulatory swamp monster on display here. And we just don't have that kind of time. Suffice to say that this is one of what must be so very many rules surrounding a pretty basic sport wherein you swim from one end of the pool to the other and back and so forth. And then you try to do it faster than the swimmer next to you, which, just for your own edification, is also what you do if you ever encounter a shark in the wild. You know, swim. Just saying. Now, as I said, these are the rules, and as a result of the rules, this swimmer was disqualified, and the team ended up losing the match. And ridiculous though the rules might seem to me and you, they are what they are. So the kid has an embarrassing and one assumes unnecessary outcome and lives to swim competitively another day. But let's take a quick peek behind the curtain here and ask ourselves a question. Here's where I want to get to. What if this had been a girl swim meet, and what if sophomore Nate Miller had recently decided that he was no longer a he, that he was, in fact, Natalie Miller, newly minted goddess in the sea of femininity, possessor of nascent womanhood, a chick, be it ever so humble with, I don't know, whatever rhymes with chick. What kind of rules and regulations would we see on display then? Would there have been a disqualification, a losing of the match, or would Natalie Miller simply mop the floor with the competition, as frequently happens in situations like this all over the country? Now, look, I don't want to demonize the National Federation of State High School Associations of Swimming and Diving for anything other than the length of their name, but it's hard to miss the parallels here and the distinct feeling that our priorities as a nation have gotten all tangled up. Now, I'm no enemy of organized sports, and I think that they do a lot of good for young men and women growing into the adults that they someday will become. But as with the rest of the long list of barnacles attached to the ship of public education, I say get your kid away from it as fast as you can. The good news, I think, is that wokeism may be dying, choking slowly on the word vomit of its own poorly constructed ideological house of cards. The bad news is that the tyrannical substructure, the thing that seeks power at all costs and will flush your children down the drain in a heartbeat that hasn't gone anywhere and probably never will. Oh, and by the way, for whatever it's worth, the reason Nate Miller was wearing an American flag on a swim cap that was oversized, it was meant to honor his grandfather who died in the September 11th attack. So great job, everyone. Just solid stuff all around. I don't know, maybe I am crazy. Either way, buy my book. Masturbatory. I love that word. Masturbatory. I say it all kind of different ways, too. Masturbatory.
you know, you got to get the alternate pronunciations in.
You do. It's tomato, tomato. But either way, somebody's masturbating. That's it's taking a very erotic inward look at yourself.
Yeah.
It's a quite masturbatory practice. In other words, let go of yourself. You're wasting not only yours but everybody's time, and we need the bathroom. Oh my gosh. Mike Lee was baffled at the State of the Union. I'll just play the clip. Look at that look. I honestly feel that's kind of the way Stuber Gear felt last night while we were roasting. It's because you can almost hear the just kind of the hum in Stu's mind at all time. I mean, imagine you're Stuber Gear, and you've spent the last 25 years of your life being executive producer, having to sit in the second chair next to Glenn Beck for all these years, every day of your life.
Uh-huh.
And the stuff that, like, and Stu is a very intelligent man. He thinks about things that most of us don't think about. And so I could literally hear the hum of Stu's mind during the State of the Union last night. And I kind of feel like that's what was going on with Representative Mike Lee there as well. You know, I'm gonna save that because I'm gonna wait. We got Gavin coming. Gavin McInnes is gonna be with us in the next segment, and one of the most polarizing figures on the planet, Gavin McInnes. I consider him a friend. I think he's a fun guy. I love to pick his brain. I love to hear what he has to say, and we're gonna hear what he has to say not only in the next segment, but he's going to be my special guest for a special overtime that we'll release on Friday. So if you want to get that and you really want to get triggered, because we're going to say some pretty provocative stuff, because apparently we're both labeled provocateurs, you got to go to blazetv.com/Chad. Use promo code Chad. Save on an annual subscription. You can't get overtime anywhere else unless you go to Blaze TV. And what you do is once you subscribe, you go to the Chad Prather Show, you click on it, and you will have the option to go follow the episodes. Just scroll along. You'll find at the end of every week we have an overtime, and you'll be able to click on that and watch our little, you know, we just talk. Sometimes we go 5 minutes, sometimes we go 20 minutes, but it's a good conversation, and Gavin McInnes is going to be my special guest on that. We're going to have a good long conversation, and then he's going to be with us in the next segment. Before I forget, folks, don't forget, ChadPratherLive.com. Going to be in Waco and Justin this week. But hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Be right back with our buddy Gavin McInnes. All right, welcome back, as promised, and we're going to take this thing into overtime. Wait a minute. Show the full studio here, Mark. Gavin McInnes isn't here. Where the hell is Gavin McInnes? Oh, there he is. There he is, Gavin McInnes, and he comes bearing gifts. How are you, my friend?
Great, how are you?
Welcome to the show. I'm happy to see you, that we're not on Skype or something.
Yeah, that's annoying. It never works.
Yeah, it never works right.
I brought you some tequila.
Some tequila, a man after my own heart.
I brought myself some Makers, so you I got some dip Makers? Into your tequila too much.
I want to dip into your Makers a little bit. Yeah, I want to have just a little pinch of that stuff. You got shot glasses?
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm told you got your own glass,
well,
right?
I'll just do this. I brought that one in there because I knew you were coming. Pour me just a little finger of that out. Some of that bourbon there.
You know, I don't drink it for Lent, and I'll be staring at it at the bar, and it looks like it's wearing lingerie. And it's just like, hi, I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, I just did a show in Lexington, Kentucky, and I kind of went back on a little bourbon kick. Thank you, my friend.
Oh, you know what's great about the South with bourbon, especially that area, is everyone's so worried about you getting a good bourbon experience.
I know.
Like, how you doing? Have you tried this? This is local. And you're like, yeah, we got Angel's Envy in New York. Don't worry about it. And you're like, okay, sorry. Hear about it. Try this. And they finally find one you haven't tried. And you're like, this is delicious. And they're like, thank God.
I know. Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome. How's things going?
Great.
Good. The host of Get Off My Lawn, Censored.tv, Gavin McInnes. If you don't know who Gavin is, then You've been hiding under a rock. And as I said, he's one of my favorite provocateurs. I like that word.
Yeah, it's good. Sounds fancy.
It does.
Makes you think of fencing, like Zorro.
I know. I've learned, we talked about it earlier this week on the program, that that everywhere I go now, I'm labeled as controversial. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, the world has changed, and we're not remotely controversial.
Mm-mm.
We're not, we're like a normal dad.
Yeah.
Like my old friend, this female friend, which doesn't really exist, but she's a liberal, and she was like, you're the only one of us from back in the day that hasn't evolved. And I'm like, I'm not supposed to evolve. I'm a dad.
Yeah.
Like, imagine you were a kid and you said to your dad when he was 45 or 50, Dad, you haven't evolved at all. Your job is the opposite. It's to be a stalwart, a stick in the mud, and say, yeah, these are my rules. I'm following them. Gays don't get married. Women aren't men. But they do this with the Proud Boys, too. They go, they're far right. Really? There's gays in the group. There's every race in the group. Yeah. They're for pro-legalization of drugs. There is no real politics. They love Trump.
Yeah.
But Trump wasn't even considered right wing. He's always been that crazy New Yorker.
Yeah. Ever. He was never considered right wing.
No, on the cover of Penthouse with a jacket over his shoulder. Like,
yeah,
people think he's the reality star guy. We're old. I'm old. I remember him on the cover of Mad Magazine and being on Sally Jesse Raphael and all, yeah, those talk shows. Like, he's been around forever.
Yeah. And we've both crossed the half century mark. We're both old enough to remember those things. People these days, especially, you know, our kids' age, they start looking at it. They only know Trump the politician.
Yeah.
They know Trump from The Apprentice a little bit. He was on
right,
there.
That's what they call him, a reality star.
Yeah. And then, you know, Andrew Heaton came up with a funny phrase a long time ago, and it just kind of stuck with me. He said, one day aliens are going to invade our Earth and, you know, check out our civilization, dig up our artifacts, and they're going to say, look, they found a game show host and made him their king, you know? And I was like, if you look at that, like 200 years in the future, the way that they're going to interpret this history, it's really a fucking nightmare. But I get a kick out of it when you think about how people have interpreted that stuff. But no, I mean, I believe in traditional roles. I believe in traditional family. I believe in the nuclear family. I believe in, you know, men being men. I believe in men, by their definition, being toxic. I think that, you know, we should bring back chest hair. There's yeah. I might put that on a T-shirt, actually.
Bring back chest hair. But it's just a hole in the middle. Yeah.
Doesn't say anything. Just carve it on, yes, your chest.
It's implied.
Yeah, but there's so much hate out there. There's so much censorship and cancellation. You and I have talked about this. And this is what I like about Gavin. This is what I like about Gavin. I was at CPAC. Hate to admit it, but I was at CPAC a couple of years ago. And we were there. It was in D.C. And we were there at the hotel. We were in the lobby. And some Antifa guys came in. You know, and they're wearing their suits. They're not dressed like we've come to know Antifa. And the head guy, whatever, he's walking around in his little cane. You know the guy I'm
talking
about.
Jason Howerton or something like that?
Yeah. And or whatever. Anyway, and they're over there stirring their little thing up. And I look, and right there in the middle of it, there's Gavin Newsom over there challenging him, engaging him. Next
Gavin
thing I know,
McInnes.
You were getting escorted out of the hotel.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, that was, so I did a talk with Alex Jones the previous night, and it was slapstick comedy. I came out, I fell on the stage, I dropped all my papers, and then I pretended I was really nervous.
Yeah.
And then I went back to the podium and pretended to do a huge line of coke. And then I was on and just dazzling everyone. Yeah. And then I started to get nervous again, and then I would go back to pretend to do more coke.
That's awesome.
He's so stupid that he thought this was some sort of smoking gun. He got me on it. So at the CPAC the next day, he goes, hey, want to go do some cocaine again, Gavin? Like, you caught me doing something on stage? And then he's getting in my face. I think Jack Posobiec had an interesting theory. He goes, I think a lot of cripples want to be beaten.
They want you to take their cane.
There's some sort of sick masochistic thing with the pain where they're like, hit me, beat me. I'm always in pain. I can handle pain. I don't know what it is, but
can't
some
feel
bizarre
his legs anyway.
Psychosis. Yeah. So he's picking a fight with me. So I got right in his face. I think I held his arm tight and I said, if you want to jump, frog, then jump. We can do this anytime. And I was right up against his nose. So he just goes, security! Immediately runs to security and they banned me from CPAC.
Yeah, because he's a little wormy dude.
He's a strange, sick,
odd
man.
Little bitch.
He's like something out of a Christmas story, like Ebenezer Scrooge gives him a turkey or something.
Yeah, because he walked up to me and he's like, I'm against, you know, nationalism and fascists. And I said, well, I mean, we have some things in common. But I think we have different interpretations of what all that looks like. But
like the thing about the modern right is, we're not saying homosexuality must be abolished and we're so petrified of trannies or anything like that. We're just, I think Gen X is coming from a place where we said marriage is BS and everything is gay and women should never settle down. And then we tried it and we went, whoa, we threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah.
And you should consider traditionalism. It's actually way funner than we thought.
Yeah. I mean, listen, there's a reason why I carry this. Again, it's the world I come out of, but there's a reason why I continue to wear and carry and travel with this huge hat everywhere I go. Because it's amazing to me how it triggers people. They like see that and they're like, oh yeah, he's a redneck, he's a hillbilly, he doesn't, you know, blah blah blah. And so I'm like, yeah, and it starts that conversation because I know where I come from, I know who I am, and I know what I believe, and the fact that I speak that openly and fervently and with some dogmatism, everybody's like, oh my God, they're extreme right. They're crazies. They're terrorists.
We were trained to hate rednecks as a middle class Canadian and who was born in Britain.
Yeah.
And Canada is basically Europe. You should think of it as Britain.
Mm-hmm.
The same political system and everything. We were trained to hate Americans. Americans are all evangelical nuts who are all racist. They're all in the Klan. And then rednecks are these toothless losers who have sex with their siblings, and they all hate blacks, and it's a hellhole over there. And then you come down here and you meet rednecks, and you go, you guys are so fun.
Yeah.
Like even I met a 12-year-old from Tennessee at some family reunion thing that I was invited to. And I was talking about his dad. He had a cast. I go, what's going on with your leg there? He goes, oh, we was riding a golf cart and we went off the side and landed on my leg and broke my leg. And then I talked to him for long and they're like, their afternoon was just hopping on dirt bikes with 22s and shooting rabbits.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's good times.
What could be more fun than that?
It's good times.
Ripping through the cutover.
Hell yeah. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to close this episode. He's going to hang out with us for overtime where we're going to have a real talk. You're going to get that on Blaze TV. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right, if you want to find Gavin McInnes and your lazy asses don't want to subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/Chad, use promo code Chad and save. You can find him at censored.tv, censored.tv, and get off my lawn, and you need to go find him because you can't find him anywhere else. He's banned off everything.
I'm banned from Pinterest.
Are you really?
I'm banned from Australia, New Zealand.
See that? Makes me want you more.
Yeah.
Just that simple fact right
there. Well, I carry around a bunch of cards that show people how to sign up because I get stopped 5 times a day with people go, hey, what are you doing now?
Right,
I used to watch you on YouTube.
Yeah. All right. Hey, and check me out, ChadPratherLive.com. I'll be in Waco on Friday night at the Hippodrome. Get tickets. It's almost sold out. Then we're going to be in Justin, Texas on Saturday. And then we got Birmingham, Alabama, Baton Rouge, all kind of places coming up. So check it out, ChadPratherLive.com. Check us out in Overtime on Friday. We love you. God bless you. We'll talk to you then. Bye.